What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Sports Talk with Nas. Today, I'm here with Derek Johnson. A lot to talk about today. Talk about some of his recruitment process. Kind of, him coming from, kind of graduating high school. What his journey's been like today, and then getting into, some schools he's eyeing and where he wants to go. So, yeah, DJ, tell us, man. How's it been for you? Where you from, and stuff like that.
It's been good. God bless me. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm just trying to keep my head on, straight on, trying to stay focused, trying to make my family proud. I love playing football. I'm trying to get back to it.
Right, and you played in 2019, a really good Shiloh team. You guys went undefeated. You were 6-0. Kind of stumbled a little bit, got to the playoffs. Just I know you were a tight end there. Just walk me through kind of how
Sure.
that journey was being a high school student. Playing for Shiloh. How was that journey for you there?
Well, I'll say this. The journey was fine, but it's like I was more disobedient to the coaches and the school. So I really wasn't focused about it. So when it got time for me to be focused about it, I wasn't ready for my opportunity. And I thank God blessing me now to get me on this right path to be ready and focused. That's why I'm more focused now. And I can see what football can do for me.
Right. And then you mentioned being kind of, you said you were, disobedient, you weren't really listening to coaches. So, when did that light kind of click on for you where you were like, okay, this is what I need to do. These are the steps I need to take to kind of, put yourself in a position where you got the opportunities that you have now?
I was thinking, and then my brother was talking to me about it. My dad was talking to me about it. My mom was talking to me. My family, and my friend, Jasheen Davis, he was talking to me about it. He left Wake Forest. Shout out Jasheen. And then they was talking about football can give you benefits and stuff. Like, you really got to love the game. Because it's going to love you back. Because if you don't respect the game, it ain't going to respect you.
Right.
So
And
now,
now go ahead.
basically, what's the name? I respect the game. I'm in love with it. I want to make this thing last.
Right. And for you, man, growing up, obviously, playing football at the minor leagues, playing, rec ball and stuff like that. Did you have a mentor that was kind of in your ear, like telling you, okay, these are the things you need to do, man. These are the things, this is how you separate yourself from the competition. This is how you put yourself in a position, where you can get noticed and things like that.
Yeah, I had a mentor. It was my coach from Little League, like all my coaches from Little League, my dad, even though he be tripping sometimes. But yeah, my dad, my uncles and stuff, my cousins. But really, my dad and my coaches really, they really like try to push me hard every day. But I wasn't
Right.
getting it early, but now I get it. I understand why they was pushing me so hard.
Yeah, right. And now, so it's been, you graduated 2020, correct?
Sir.
Right. So you graduated 2020, we're in 2022 now. So walk me through ever since May 2020 up to now. What's the journey been like for you? Because I'm, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think you went to college right out. So I think you went like straight to working. So how has that journey been? We sometimes we'll see these stories all the time, and we'll see somebody that was working. I don't know if you're familiar, DJ, with the Kurt Warner story, but he was bagging groceries, and stuff like that before he got his opportunity and was working. So, your story almost kind of similarly fits that. So, just walk me through what's that journey been from May 2020 when you graduated to like now. What are some things you've been doing?
It really been hard because people don't understand. Like, everybody want to be in gangs, everybody want to shoot, everybody want to fit in with everybody. But when the real world hits you, you ain't gonna know what to do. So when the real world hit me, because all that playing I did in high school, I'm thinking I'm gonna be straight, I'm gonna be fine. Now I started working, and my life just went downhill, and I just felt like everything was against me. But to be honest, I put all that, putting through my parents through this on myself. So basically, that was the consequence that God gave me. Now, once I realized I was working so hard and just barely making any money, I was like, my mom had told me, she was like, I told you go to school and get your education. But since you don't want to get your education, this is what comes with it. Ever since then, it clicked to me. I didn't want to be working hard. I want to live my life successfully, be more wealthy than rich. Want to be having a wealthy family, everything. I
Right.
want to do what I got to do now. So later, I ain't got to even stress about it.
Right, no, exactly, and it sounds like that light bulb went off, and before we obviously talk about the career process and the schools that are interested in you, let's talk about similarly kind of that light clicking on, and talk me through like what's been your workout regimen, man? What are some things you've been doing to kind of separate yourself, get your body back fit, because I know you was out of school and playing football for a couple of years. So what are some things you're doing training wise, from that kind of perspective? Waking up early. What are some things you do to kind of stay fit and kind of where you get these opportunities?
Well, I have a I always gotta have a schedule. If you don't got no schedule, you're just gonna be all over the place. So at 5 a.m., if I'm not running, I'll either do push-ups or sit-ups at home and like a core workout. And then at 10 a.m., I go hit the gym with my trainer. We'll do some workout in. I come back home, rest up, ice up. You always gotta eat, you gotta force yourself to eat even when you don't want to. Because if you don't want to eat, it ain't gonna benefit you. And then after that, I might work on some drills, some footwork drills, working on releases, how to get off a press, how to block, where to put my hands at, just the fundamental stuff.
Right. Now,
Can't get. I
answer
like
this for me. When you was in high school, right? So,
it.
what kind of coverages did you see a lot, during high school and film? I've heard some players say they see a lot of cover three, cover four,
Yeah,
from a
it
tight end.
was
It was a lot of those. What are some beaters for that? And for you, like the tight end, where's the position you need to be in order to kind of beat that coverage? If you see a cover three or a cover four.
It's all about like where you want yourself to, like, because since they run in the zone, they're gonna be shifting. They're not gonna be man to man. So you always want to find the right hole or the right spot to just sit in there. So basically, you gotta have that chemistry with your quarterback. Like if you have the chemistry with the quarterback, he'll know where you're gonna be at, and you'll know where he's gonna put the ball at, place the ball at, basically.
Right. And if for you, tight end wise, it's become such a pretty cool position. Like before, back in the, decades ago, centuries ago, it was more so blocking, creating holes for the running back. So, now we're seeing the proliferation kind of, the Travis Kelce's, the George Kittle's, the diamond tight ends that can go across the middle. They're almost like receivers. So for you, one, is anybody you idolize your game after, the tight end wise? And then just two, what do you kind of try to do as a tight end? Are you more of a blocker? Are you more of a kind of receiving tight end, or a little bit of both?
See, that's the thing. My favorite tight end, to be honest with you, is Antonio Gates. I like how he played the game. But really, I used to be a blocking tight end, but I'm trying to get myself as like a tight end slot. I'm trying to be more versatile so coach can see that, and
Right.
NFL scouts can see that. So I
Right.
really like, sometimes I watch Antonio Gates highlights, and sometimes I watch like Odell Beckham highlights just to like
Okay.
get the feeling of, off releases and stuff, how to get off the pass, I mean the run block, and go out for a quick out route, stuff like that.
Right. And then for you running routes, do you have a favorite route you like to run? Sometimes, you have the goes, you have the digs, you have, kind of that inward crossing route, you got the shallow route, you got the inward breaking out route. Is there any like routes as a tight end that you like to run?
I like running a post.
Post.
I like the post. Like them
Okay.
deep routes. I love the post.
You like the post inside or you like the post outside?
Inside.
Inside. Okay. And continue going on, obviously you mentioned the lessons you've learned in the last 3 years. If you had to tell anybody in your predicament, or they're struggling out of high school, they still want to play, but some life circumstances have hit them. So some advice you would give maybe to the younger generation that want to play football, but they're going through, a multitude of things that's kind of preventing them from, what would you tell them?
You always got to keep your head up, because no matter what, you can't envy nobody, because your time is coming. So there's no point in hating on somebody else or downing yourself, because your time is coming. You just got to keep working hard for it. But it's coming, though. It's coming.
Got you. So staying in the moment, staying motivated,
Yeah.
and
Staying motivated.
staying motivated, right? And not letting it, when the adversity hit, not caving to it.
Yeah. Mental health is everything.
You're right about that, definitely. So let's talk about now kind of your recruiting process. Let's go back kind of to, you mentioned about staying in shape. We mentioned that your trainer's doing footwork drills, running those certain routes and things like that. But what has it been like as far as playing wise? I think you told me, or I know you've done a stint at I think it was Georgia Knights. How did that go? Where did that kind of opportunity arise from?
Well, my friend, like I said, Jesse Davis, he put me on with all these coaches on my Twitter. He told me to make a Twitter account, get at least coaches. So Georgia Knights hit me up and they told me to come out and play for them. So I took the opportunity to play with Georgia Knights. It was a good season, but it got cut short because I got injured in practice.
Tell
But I
us a
always
little,
appreciate the opportunity.
yes, sir. And tell
What you
us a
got?
little bit about the injury. What kind of happened? And what was the significance of the injury?
We doing Oklahoma in practice, and I hit the dude, but when I hit him, my like shoulder popped. I felt it pop, so I just stopped, and then my shoulder was dangling, but it was just separated. But other than that, I was fine. But the doctors told me I had to sit out for like 3 to 4 weeks, and that really hurt me because that was the season right there, and I needed to film the season. That was the season right there. So I just kept my head high, tried to push through. I remember the second week. I kid you not, the second week, my mom told me, I'm gonna make you a better man. And the whole time the doctor said, don't do nothing. And then I'm in there working. The second week, I like see the truth. Like, the second
Yeah.
week.
Second week. Right. And now, okay, so you kind of ended your season, the separated shoulder, the last 3, 4 weeks of the season. What's the recovery process been like for you, and are you fully healthy now?
Yeah, I'm 100% healthy, but what's the name? The process is kind of hard because you got to sleep different. You like type of stretches you can't do no more. You can't lift your arm up and stuff. You got to get back to like having that mobility in your arm and stuff. You don't want to always just sleep on your arm and don't do nothing with it. You got to do type of exercises. And really, the hardest part about it is going to sleep on time, waking up not late, and what's the name? Eating healthy. The more healthy you eat, the quicker the process will be, and the more easier the process will be.
I'm glad you brought up health and eating right. Before we even get into talking about kind of the school's interest in you, tell me about what's your diet like? Walk me through the diet of an athlete. What are some things you take to stay lean and fit, that where you don't feel like bloated or anything like that, that you kind of stick to? Because you mentioned the regimen, you mentioned the schedule having those critical parts of it. But tell me about the health part of it. What are some things you eat on a day-to-day to stay fit?
I love bananas. Like everywhere I go, you see me with bananas. I always keep water with me. What's the name? I use two protein shakes. I got a vegan one and I got Muscle Milk. So either after before I work out, I use the vegan one. Then after I work out, I use the Muscle Milk. I go straight to sleep, get my rest, and wake back up and I might drink the vegan one. Cause I don't drink the Muscle Milk that much. Because I heard, some stuff about it. But other than that, I might put some strawberries in it. But I don't eat strawberries every day because, the acid and stuff, it can break your face out. But grapefruit, and I eat pasta, fish, shrimp, baked chicken, and salmon. I gotta stay away from it. I stay away from the pork, the deep fried food like chicken, wings, and eat that. And processed food. If for anything, anybody hearing this, processed food is bad for you. So don't eat processed food.
Sounds like you got a pretty good diet, man. That's definitely been making a difference. So, all right, man, we talked about the diet, we talked about the health, we talked about where you are now. So tell me about the schools. I know it's some couple schools that are interested in you. Tell me about which ones have reached out to you and which one you got kind of on your mind, man.
Yeah, my dream school always been Auburn. Because of Cam Newton, I like how he played the game,
Right.
like the determination. But the schools that recently hit me out is BUL, Virginia Union, and Lenoir Ryan School. That's my top three that I'm looking at right now.
And those schools, why are they in your top three? And tell me what's kind of stand out about the program, those programs for you.
Because they organize like a no shade to Georgia Knights, but us name. I ain't never seen like an organ my fault.
No
Organized
worries.
program like them. Ever seen an
Okay.
organized program? All three of them, they organized. I like the coaching staff. All three.
And then for you, have you kind of met, so you can walk me through this process too. Have you met with like the tight end coach or their wide receiver coach, the offensive coordinator? And what
Yeah.
are some things they kind of told you, like, hey, you know, we're interested, we think you could fit into our offense in this way. What are some things they kind of, you know, said to you when you met with them, some of the coaches?
Yeah, I met with the tight end coaches and stuff. And they want me, they want me. And what's the name? They're like, they want me this spring though and stuff. So I could fit in, you know, get the playbook down pat. And the quarterback's been texting me, the wide receiver's been texting me. And you know, I've been trying to do what I gotta do in school now. So once I transfer out, it's a done deal. It's over with.
Right. And you mentioned real quick the three schools. Is there one you're kind of favoring, or is that kind of decision you're going to wait a little bit, reveal it on Twitter? Are you going to give me some kind of inside intel of where you're going to go?
Gonna wait a little bit. I'm gonna wait a little bit.
Okay. Respect.
I've been having my mind on two though. I'll give you the intel on two of them.
Okay.
It's either VUL or Virginia Union.
You are Virginia Union. Okay,
Yeah.
those are heavy on your mind. Okay, respect that,
They're
man.
heavy.
Okay,
Yeah.
got you. And then for you, so I think the semester for school is about to end. You might got what, another week or two left, correct?
Yeah.
So then straight from there, okay. So just walk me through. You know, you might not know when you're going to commit, but walk me through. You know, when you plan on, because obviously spring ball will be here before you know it. Especially when we turn the calendar year. But walk me through maybe when you think you'll be ready to make a decision. And kind of, you know, when you prepare to kind of, you know, sign the dotted line, man.
In January,
January, okay.
it's coming. Yeah.
Okay, so January you plan to sign, and then go to the school
Or after Christmas,
after Christmas. Okay.
I might make commit after Christmas.
So then, assuming once you know make the decision, Christmas, January, you're going to roll into the school, and then you'll be going there in the spring, correct?
Right.
Okay, got you, man. And so obviously tight end. So let me ask you this. This is more a personal question. Just, you know, for you, where did your kind of love for football come from? Where did it start? I know you played Little League. Was there a moment in your life you remember like, dang, I really enjoy football. I want to play this someday. Was there something you seen on TV? Was it a moment you shared with your dad, your brother, whoever? What was that moment that's kind of like, I want to play football?
I'm not gonna lie. When I was playing it when I was younger, I didn't really love it. But I love playing like against people, kids, you know. But I didn't really love the game. I didn't understand what the game could, you know, provide for me. But when I got older and stuff, and I started going through family stuff, and I just sat back one day, and I just looked up to the sky, and I was just talking to God and stuff, you know. And I said, I want to do this. I want to prove everybody wrong. The image they got on me. So I got a bad image on me. And, you know, that's what everybody, but I'm not complaining about it. I'm just going to prove everybody wrong. That's all I'm going to do, prove you wrong. I promise you, I'm not ending up where I started.
That's all that matters, man. And then, you know, for you also, you mentioned the working out. Do you kind of do, every athlete's different. I know some athletes work out 3 times a day, some work 4, 5. You know, is yours kind of just in the mornings, or do you kind of, you know, you do 2 a days, 3 days? How is your, you know, your workouts? How often you work out?
I do every day, except the weekends. The weekends are like a recovery day, but it ain't really a recovery day. Weekends is more like, because I might lift 5 days out the week, but the weekends I might be doing some cardio stuff. I may be doing, you know, like sprints, stuff like that. I'm trying to keep myself in shape, footwork, working on my craft, how I line up, how I come off the ball, the explosiveness, you know, stuff like that. But I don't mean I'm just going to take a day off. Because it's like, you know, because your body do need rest, but that don't mean it's a day off. You should be doing something every day.
Right. And let's go back to kind of the decision of the schools you want to go to. So, you know, when you go there, you know, will you be playing on scholarship? You know, will you have to kind of work like how you've been doing now, in balancing school, or will it be a little bit of both?
Yeah, Virginia Union, it's on scholarship, free tuition. And stuff, but VUL, I think it's not free tuition. I think that's what they told me. I think they say you got to work for your scholarship if you want to own full scholarship. I ain't got no problem with that. I'll work for mine.
Got you. And you know, just get to know you more on a personal basis. I think, you know, your favorite team is still the Cowboys. You have to correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, what are some teams you like, some players that you know you really enjoy watching out on the gridiron, whether it's at the tight end position or just, you know, players across the league.
Number one, Justin Jefferson. That boy a dog. I ain't heard. Hey, he different. Hey, he different.
Right.
I would say Cam, but I don't know what Cam doing. Odell. I like what's the name too? Jonathan Taylor. I think that's what his name is. Isn't that his name? Yeah.
Somebody, the Colts running back.
Jonathan Taylor. Yeah, he nice. I just thought he was all talk, but he nice, he nice. And what's the name? What's the buddy name off of the Dolphins, the Dolphins, number 17.
It's Jalen Waddle.
Yeah, Jalen Waddle.
Okay.
Yeah, he nice.
Okay. And two, since you know you are a Cowboys fan, what do you think about the possibility of Odell Beckham landing with you guys, kind of, you know, adding to that offense that's been dominant, you know, throughout the year?
It's over with.
It's
It's Super Bowl. It's Super Bowl time. It's
Super
Super
Bowl
Bowl
time.
time. It's that time. It's that time. We supposed to win it when Tony Romo and Dez, you know. What year was that? I think that was like 12. 12. It had to be somewhere around there.
Okay.
2014, 2013. When he
13,
dropped
12,
that pass.
2012.
When we played the Packers and they cheated
I
us.
remember. Yeah, it was that fumble towards the goal line. Yeah, that was an
Yeah.
infamous play. Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. All right, and then I think too, it's a cousin you have that you try to mentor as well. I think he wants to get back, you know, to playing kind of. I think he's trying to play football again. So, what are some things you're trying to just teach him as a mentor and just show him? Okay, well, these are the things you need to do if you really want to, you know, play, stand out, and kind of be on the next level.
The problem is with him. I love my cousin. I love everybody. I love my cousin, but he taking football for granted. And there's some people out here that's like really dedicated to this stuff. That's not just gonna let you walk on here and you think you got the starting position just because you walking on and you think you can play this position and stuff. It's people that die for this. It's people that gotta feed their family. It's people that's striving for this. It's people that already been training for this since they was little, since they was babies. Like, it ain't gonna work like that. You got to catch up to them. It's a work, it's a mentality, and it's a work habit. Like, you got to have them two things to be great. If you ain't got them two things, then, like I said, the game not will respect you. You're just gonna be looking around, like, looking for help because
Right.
the work is there. The work is there. You just got to put it in.
Right. And for you, man, how important is so let's stay out of this, right? Obviously I'm not a predictor of the future, but you know, could you see yourself being like a coach, kind of like that mentor for the kids that want to come up and play, you know, football, you know, down the line? You know, how important is mentorship to you, and is coaching a realm of possibility, maybe, you know, not now, but in the future that you could see yourself doing?
If I don't make it to the NFL, I'm not saying that because I always want everybody want to make it to the NFL. But if I don't make it to the NFL, that's what the benefits that comes from it because you love the game. You can coach, you can be a trainer, you can be even an interviewer. You can be that. You can be a what's that called? What's that thing that Eric Thomas do? A motivational speaker. There you go. Motivational speaker, stuff like that. Stuff like that. It
Got
brings
you.
benefits to the table.
No, it does. It does. Definitely. Yeah, it definitely opens up a bunch of things. Some other things you could be: athletic director, assistant coach. Yeah, there's a lot of things you can be from it. You definitely read about that. And for you, I wanted to get your opinion on this because, you know, you can attest to this more. Obviously, you're an African American male. You're considering going to HBCU. So, what is kind of your thoughts, man, on the kind of whole Deion Sanders situation, him going to Jackson State, building up that program, getting more eyes on HBCUs, going 27-5 as a head coach, and then kind of leaving? I know everybody kind of has their viewpoint, but I wanted to hear, you know, what you thought, because especially you're thinking that you're strongly considering going to an HBCU. What did you think about that whole thing?
It's like this. At first, you got to think about it from our standpoint and our generation. They gonna say it's all about the money because it's like we don't really think about what we say come out of our mouth. But if you think about it, this man LeBron, all these people to watch us, all these celebrities to the games, all these scouts to other people practices, and they just gonna do that man like that. Well, I respect him for doing what he did and shining the light on HBCUs. I really respect that. So I don't feel no type of way about him because I know he got a family to feed and he got to feed himself and every and he going through some stuff. He probably going through some stuff. All I'm saying is that I appreciate the man for trying and giving his effort to
So
make
you,
everybody better.
right? So you don't think the move was like premature? You think, you know, he did what was best for him, and you think, you know, in that situation, you know, that's kind of what he should have did. Because you know, some people are like they think he should have stayed. It wasn't right, you know, because he was like you said, he made a lot of headlines. Like he landed Travis Hunter out of Collins Hill. He flipped him. He had a bunch of recruits that wanted to come to Jackson State, you know, and things like that. So. You know, do you think it's fair, you know, to Jackson State or those kids there that believed in him and he's leaving so early? Do you think that's fair to them, in your opinion?
It depends. It depends. Because it's kind of hard. It's like the community love that man. You know, taking that man from that community is going to bring all that controversy. It's going to bring like hate, love. It's like just like in football, it's going to be some people that love you. It's going to be some people that hate you. It's just that God got a way. He got a plan for everybody. And I felt like that was his plan. I felt like he did enough for HBCUs. He shined the light. He did what he said he was going to do. Even if he don't win no championship, he still shined the light because he's Deion Sanders and NFL Hall of Famer. So he getting more HBCUs. They getting more attendances. They getting like 60,000 in attendance. They bringing ESPN, ESPN Games, College Game Day, all that stuff. So I'm thinking like he did what he's supposed to do. Now it's time to him to elevate. Like he said, it's time to elevate. You can't
Now
just
let me
stay.
stay in the same place. Now answer this for me too, man. You know, kind of just off of that question, you know, for you, why do you think it is that HBCUs don't get that kind of coverage? Like we'll see. I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is the first time I've heard, maybe even seen ESPN or a major television network actually broadcast a SWAC championship. It doesn't really get a lot of notice. It's not a lot of, I mean, there are some people that are writing about it, but it's not a national kind of a thing. It doesn't get that light, you know, shown on it a lot. So, you know, why do you think that is? And, you know, what's kind of your hope? Obviously, you're going to HBCU of how the coverage will look in the future.
It's like this. It's like some people, they'll look at these big schools like Auburn, Alabama, and stuff like that. And they're not understanding, like, I'm not saying, what's the name? I'm not discrediting none of them schools, but I'm saying it's some kids, like, that's at Alabama State, you know, the HBCU colleges that can play just like how they can play. So I think everybody needs to shine a light on everybody. I don't get why they don't do that, but it ain't my decision. But if it was my decision, I would shine a light on everybody because there's plenty of black kids out here that can play on the same level as, what's the name, D1 kids, or even better.
You know,
I see
I
some people. Yeah.
Look what.
I seen some people, what's the name? That's like off the linebacker off of Jackson State, Aubrey Miller. He like, and then I think he going to the draft. He declaring for the draft. He a good player. He can play in one of them leagues. Like at Colorado and stuff, the Pac-10, that's the Big 12, ACC, stuff like that. I'm just saying we just need to shine a light on everybody because everybody deserves a shot to be shown.
You know what, Sue? I actually agree with you. I think it's a testament to say that I think media should do better, like you said, broadcasting those games, giving that total, you know, kind of notice to it. And you can make the argument. Obviously, there's NFL Hall of Famers that come from HBCUs. A well-known one is Shannon Sharp. He's excellent. You know, he played really well. Obviously, now he's on TV doing his show. But I agree with you. I think they need to shine more of a light on that and really, you know, kind of display what the talent that they can bring to the table. So hopefully, man, in the future, you know, we could see more coverage similar to what we've seen this year, College Game Day going out there to the schools. And hopefully this is not the end all be all. Hopefully they can start upgrading some of the facilities and they can, you know, get a whole kind of, you know, picture on it and, you know, really land some TV deals and contracts. But Another one more question, man, before I kind of let you go for today. Again, appreciate you joining the show.
No problem.
What's the future hope for you, man? I know obviously you want to go to one of these schools and then you want to, play really well there, but is your hope to kind of stay there for, 3, maybe 4 years at the HBCU and kind of build your brand there, your own personal brand? Or do you want to stay there for a year or two, transfer out to, a big time school? What's kind of your plan and the future intel for you?
So I got my goals wrong down. I want to win an HBCU championship. I want to beat the passing leader in yards as a tight end. I want to break that record. I want to win a national championship, NCAA, in the D1 league. And I want to go first round in the draft. I know how hard it can be, but I had to do it because I'm tired of losing. I'm tired of losing. So I'm coming for everything.
Y'all heard that here, guys. It's coming for everything. Again, this is Derek Johnson. Joining the show today. Definitely appreciate him coming on, giving me a little bit of, the insight, what it's like, man, going through kind of, what he went through, learning kind of on the job, learning, the different principles and elements that you got to learn in life in order to put yourself in position for success. So I think he is, in position to do that. And I think he's showing that. And, man, wishing you nothing but success at, whatever school you decide to go to. You definitely got to let me know where you decide to commit, and how, your season goes. But I really appreciate you joining the show, man, and kind of giving me a little bit of your story and, how things have been turning out for you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. So
Thanks for
that's
being on
the,
here.
yes, sir. Of course, man. Anytime. I definitely appreciate you coming on. So that's all I got for you guys today, man. That is Derek Johnson, former Shiloh player, looking to, make his impact at HBCU. So hopefully this ain't the last interview, but I'm sure he'll be keying me in on his journey, how that goes, his commitment, and kind of what everything entails after that. So appreciate you guys tuning in, man, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Peace.
See you. Peace.